This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, for this introduction. And we have just got another talk here on the Christian War Room. And we are looking at the battle for our children. And it's a real battle. It's a real battle. You know, the devil tries to get our children. And he's doing a very good job at it. He's doing a very good job. I heard some disturbing figures. And today we're going to look at the subject of education. And this may be something I'm possibly more qualified to talk about more than on any of the other subjects. I work as a lecturer. And or in America will be a college professor. The kids I'm getting are pretty much the kids who have left school, so from 16 onwards, and I can see a lot of the things, you know, which has happened to kids and the way they've been shaped through the educational system, including all the failures, you know, where some of the simple stuff they should be doing within math and English is just not there. You know, schools have just been failing them. But also a lot of other crazy ideas kids grow up with, and we see them as you know, in the late teens, early 20s, and they come up with a very weird concept of the world, which is very anti-Christian, it's very agnostic, it's very postmodern. So anything goes, anything is right. Other than somebody saying that they know the truth, that's obviously horrendously wrong. And you cannot have this, you know, you need to oppose this with all your might. So it's a very strange world we are living in, and we have kids, you know, sometimes within the church, who go through an educational system, and statistics say that, I don't know the exact figures, I've heard like two-thirds or something, I don't know, anybody really, really knows, but a huge proportion of the kids who go to college or university are so ill-prepared from a Christian perspective that they come back having lost their faith and having given up on it. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You know, when you see your son, your daughter struggling, all because they've said goodbye to Jesus and have uninvited them out of their lives. Now, I'm a firm believer that that salvation is not just, you know, a deal for a period of your life, that salvation is a lifetime thing, you know. And obviously I'm totally aware of it, that a lot of kids say they go into education and they may have never broken through. They may have never come to a point where they've invited Jesus into their hearts, where they've opened their heart to the gospel, where they've truly repented and truly surrendered their sin to Christ and have decided to follow Jesus. And some have, some haven't, I don't know. Yeah. But again, the result is similar. You know, the people suffer so much that they give up on what should be the most precious aspect of their lives, and that is their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, what do we do? First of all, what is the problem? What is the situation? Again, I'm going to talk a little bit from my own experience, and I'm going to go back quite a few decades now. And I'm going to look at a little bit as well, as because I'm one of those who have given up their faith. Yeah. Fortunately, it wasn't the right faith I gave up, but it was a wrong occultic faith I gave up. But I'm just in the same boat. Now, I tell you my own story, and then maybe we can relate to some of the modern stories. Now, my story is that I grew up within a Catholic family, a strong, strict Catholic family. I was taught Catholicism all the way through. I was very dedicated to the church as a kid, extremely dedicated. I did anything I could because I thought this is the way to please God, and I loved God, I loved Jesus. And, you know, I went to church, I got all the church instructions, I got instruction at home about the church, which again, is very, very important, I think. And sort of when I hit my teenage years, I started rebelling. And for me, a big thing I saw was the hypocrisy within the church, and I just couldn't deal with it. I didn't find a home in the church anymore. I didn't find a place where I could have a sense of belonging. And so I started sort of hanging out. And in those days, we had discos and things like that and discotheques as a young kid. I started hanging out with a bad crowd as well. And I was probably the kid the neighbors would warn their kids not to hang out with. And I took a sense of pride in that as well. And that was pretty much from 13 years onwards, being 13 years old, till about 16. And when I was 16, my mother was fed up, you know. She knew that my life was going in very bad ways, in very dark avenues. And she said that she, you know, got a bunch of nuns to pray for me and for God to sort me out. And I think she never expected what would happen. I got some Pentecostal Christians, which from a Catholic point of view are pretty much the ambassadors from hell. Cultists, they preached the gospel to me. I accepted Jesus. And that was one of the worst things I could have done. And I left the Catholic Church, was baptized, you know, left the Catholic Church. And that was... It was like I had murdered my parents, yeah. So that is the way I was treated in the family. I was treated like an outcast. It was interesting as well. In my wild days on my 16th birthday, I joined the Communist Party and signed everything. And that was okay. You know, that was sort of marginally acceptable. But becoming a Christian and leaving the Catholic Church, you know, being baptized and what they consider to be a cult, that was just really, really bad. You know, that was totally and utterly unacceptable. And kind of strange, really, really strange, really strange. And there was a big, big sort of ooh-ha in the family. Fortunately, one of my grandfather's friends, you know, from the wartime, and I think he has helped him a lot and vice versa, one of them, he was a born-again Christian, and he was dead at the time, but his daughter, who would have been the age of my mother, okay, so to get the generational thing in, she was still alive, and she checked me out, and she said, oh, no, he's okay, he believes the same stuff we believe. And at that point, my grandfather kind of accepted me, but everybody else was still very dubious. Took years for them to come round. They realized I wasn't bad, you know. I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, you know, doing silly stuff as a youngster. I lost a lot of friends when I became a Christian, a lot of, you know, secular friends. I didn't have many Christian friends because there weren't a lot of Christians my age, or born-again Christians my age around in my town. And so it was, for me, it was very, very hard for... my family, it was difficult as well, but they kind of could see that it wasn't really that bad, you know, as they made it out to be to start off with. And then things over time, sort of, they sorted themselves out. Okay, now, let's have a look at the educational system. Now, I went through the educational system in the church, so I had, like, a good understanding of Christianity. When I became a Christian, I knew the Bible stories pretty well, and that was Old Testament as well as New Testament, which kind of gave me a jump start, you know, to a certain extent. So a lot of people who came from an atheistic background, they had to go through all the Bible stories, and it took him a long time to sort of get the head around where is what and which person is whom, and when, you know, the preacher preached a sermon, I could sort of put all the little puzzle pieces together. A lot of my people I came across who came from a secular background, they were struggling to start off with, and they really had to get into the Bible to get sort of a basic understanding. Also, I had my Catholic teaching and upbringing, but the school at the time, it's not quite as extreme as it was today, we were taught evolution, yeah, and that was pretty much considered to be fact, and the rest was kind of a myth or, you know, an allegory or something like that, you know, the Adam and Eve story and Genesis story. We were pretty much taught a secular understanding of the world around us, very secular understanding of the world around us. So in German education, God was pretty much excluded other than in our religious study session. And that was sort of a big thing. I remember sort of I really, really struggled when I became a Christian. And obviously Adam and Eve, the whole Genesis account is very important because a lot of things in the New Testament do not make sense if you don't accept Genesis. You're going to struggle at one stage, sooner or later. I mean, I was exploding with the love of Christ, which, you know, God poured out into my heart, and all the stuff which was happening, you know, that you just pray and God actually really hears prayer and you get answers to prayers. And I found this so amazing, especially as a young Christian. But I really struggled, you know, because I was indoctrinated with the theory of evolution. And then I had a preacher who was telling me about Adam and Eve. I remember sort of I was praying about this and it really, really disturbed me. And I remember one instance where I was in a biology session and, you know, all this stuff, everything was explained from evolution or from an evolutionary context or paradigm. And God just let my... drew my attention towards some of the information I had in my biology book about evolution, about, you know, what they believed was the sequence of man. And I saw that they had a fraction of a skull and they made up a whole skull. And they said, this is what the ancestor of man looks like. And there were quite a few of these things which were in the biology book. Everybody just lapped it up and took it as fact. God was showing me and he says, look at this, you know, look at the foolishness of it all. And I could see it was just foolish. You know, all they had was just a fragment of a skull. They made up a, you know, complete skull from that, which how did they know? You know, it's impossible. You can't. It was just an assumption, you know. The whole thing was just an assumption and nothing else. There was no solid proof for it and no real evidence for it. And I could see this even, you know, without having a great understanding of the theory of evolution. Now, going back about 34 years, I've had a detailed look into it. And the theory of evolution is probably one of the most foolish things that there is. There's virtually, not virtually, there is no evidence. There's no real empirical evidence to support the theory of evolution. You've got microevolution, which is basically just adaptation. But you don't have any evidence at all that one species has transferred into another species, even, you know, on a lesser level, is nothing, absolutely nothing there. And the further you go into this, the more you realize that it actually takes a huge amount of blind faith to believe in the theory of evolution and that it is anything but scientific. It's all based on and built up on speculative evidence and circular reasoning. And so once you break this circle of the circular reasoning, the whole thing just falls flat on its nose. Reason may be because it's not true, and the more evidence points towards a creationist narrative than an evolutionist narrative. Okay, I mean, even evolutionists, to some point, they go, because you can't explain where life is coming from and the complexity of life, it's just almost impossible to explain how this could exist, and they really, really struggle other than just making some blanket statements, and that's the only way it could have happened because that's what we believe. They even come up with crazy stuff that life has been spawned by aliens, and then at that point you're there, okay, if it's aliens, why could it not have been God who has created life from the onset? But here we go, that's the evolutionist thing. So the problem we have, and again, we are talking about the Christian war room here, is that our educational system is very flawed and is pushing people into a certain direction. And pretty much the paradigm or the zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, the spirit of the age is reflected in the educational system. The problem we've had as well in Germany, and this started all in the 70s, was that... for some strange reason, all the progressive thinkers, they came somehow into the educational system and they started experimenting on kids. So the big thing in the 60s was anti-authoritarian upbringing. So all this meant is that kids had no boundaries. They could do what they wanted. They could smash up a chair, but then they would learn if they smash up a chair, they haven't got a chair to sit on. And the whole thing was just total anarchy and chaos. They pretty soon realized it doesn't work very well, and people get exasperated, especially adults, when they have to deal with 30 totally mad, out-of-control kids without any sense of discipline or anything. And so it was pretty much abandoned at early stages. But they did experiments on this level, and they did a lot of them as well. There was a great move in the 70s about God is dead, there is no God, and anti-religion sentiment. And they tried to push this through. It didn't last too long. And then a bit later, you got the New Age movement, and it was looking at the pantheistic nature of God, and all this stuff was pushed by the side, by the by. Now we've got, and it's pushed in education as well, and I can see this as well with within college education. We are told here in Britain to teach British value in every lesson, and it's a big problem. I teach engineering. So we have to include math and British values and English in every lesson. So when you teach engineering, it's a bit of a tough choice to include all this when you try to teach somebody Ohm's law. You can probably put a bit of language in with, what does Ohm mean, or the term Ohm. You can put a bit of math in, that's no problem. But British values, how do you put it in? But again, when you go to British values, you have to teach stuff like tolerance. You have to teach protected characteristics, which then gets right into the LGBT movement. And again, what has this got to do with engineering? But there is the notion that these values need to be conveyed in every lesson to every person. And it's probably a response to Islamic radicalization, which has been taking place in many places in the country, and they try to counter the effects of radicalization. So by teaching people democratic values and so on. Anyway, what do we do with our kids? Our kids, they go to school, and number one is they get taught that evolution is the truth, and that is the only scientific model. Politicians here, they have already threatened if schools teach creationism that they will be defunded from the government. They don't get any money from the government, and they are in serious trouble. They were even sort of threatening to shut them down, because according to the government, even the conservatives, evolution is the only way, it's the only scientific model, and nobody, dares to challenge them and ask any questions. We've got the whole LGBT issue. We've now got the big gender stuff that's going on, and which is pushing its way through the media right into our educational system. On the surface, it looks okay. In reality, I've seen some of the kids which have decided to transition from one sex to another, and they are just a very, it's very difficult for them. They've got my sympathy in a way. They've been deceived. They've been led up the garden path. That's a saying we have here, where they led them into somewhere which doesn't go anywhere. They're really struggling, they're really, really struggling. Nobody likes them, they don't seem to have any friends. But the schools or the colleges get a huge amount of funding for them to support them, in their endeavor to become something they are not. And again, it's a big, big problem, a very big problem we are dealing with. Education tells us, this is the way to go. It goes even further, where they now try and tell us that kids can be mutilated at a young age. They can be given drugs to stop puberty, so they can transition much more successfully to something they are not. This is what is sort of pushed down into our kids' lives from the educational system. We get postmodernists philosophy pushed down our kids, and postmodernism is pretty much that truth is relative. Whatever is true for you may not have to be true for somebody else. And from a Christian perspective, this is total nonsense. First of all, the Bible is very clear. It describes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is only to be found in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And there's no ifs and buts. We are talking about reality. There either is a hell or there isn't. There is a heaven or there isn't. Either Jesus was right or he wasn't right. We believe that he was right, and that is an unconditional truth. It's not something we can negotiate. It's not something which is right for me but not right for somebody else, but it is the truth. And so we need to get this across to our kids, and we need to fight this within our educational system. Okay, the next problem we have, and again, I've seen this in education, is that education doesn't work very well these days, and I'm not sure what the deeper reasons is, but we get a lot of kids, or I get a lot of kids, and it's happened for years, who come to us and they don't have the math, they don't have they can't read very well. You know, if you give them a text, they haven't got the concentration or the capacity to read a text and to find out what's written in the text. They can't write very well. Lots of spelling mistakes and errors. And mathematically, it's a nightmare. So adding is okay, subtraction is okay. But when you look about division or fractions or algebra, students really, really struggle. Again, it's a big problem. And the big question is, what can we do against it? And how can we prepare our kids to not fall victim to a failing educational system that's teaching them a lot of stuff which is not the truth? Okay, let's talk about a few things. One of the biggest issues is obviously the theory of evolutionist Darwinism. A friend of mine, Trey Smith, he once did a talk about 100 methods. He's sort of very cocky and cheeky in the way he comes across, but very, how shall I say, very very effective, I think. And I think young people respond to him very well. Now, Trey Smith, he has done a talk, which is quite a few years old now, 100 Ways to Disprove Evolution, yeah, the Theory of Evolution. And it's actually been really good. You know, he's collected all these points and he discusses them and he destroys evolution very effectively. And what I think we need to do as churches, maybe, we need to, number one, set up our war rooms and find out what is really going on in education. Why is it that kids, fall away from the faith, that they give up on God? Why is it that they embrace postmodernism, but they don't embrace a biblical worldview? And we need to find this out. So once, and this might be a war room activity, to just engage with kids who go to universities, who go to colleges, and who are struggling with a whole lot of things in their faith, to really, I mean, number one, you take them on this journey to find out what's really going on with them, which I don't fully understand how serious it is. And then once you go side by side, you can help them to come back, you know, to Jesus and come back on the narrow way and the right track for their lives to walk on. But also you can gain precious intelligence and information on what really is the problem with them. Once you know this, you can then sit down and you can develop strategies. And again, I'm talking about the war room. Might be time to get the whiteboard on the wall and to start, making notes on the whiteboard to see what are the issues, what are they struggling with, what are the big problems they are dealing with, and how can we meet those problems? How can we challenge whatever is piped down into their minds from godless or atheistic college professors? How can we, destroy the whole modern way of secularism, agnosticism, and postmodernism? How can we just, destroy it in the minds of our kids? How can we prepare them to go through the educational system without losing their hope in Christ? I think it's very, very important, and we are talking about our kids. I mean, the problem really is that, kids are born, they come to church, they lap everything up, and then the first time in their lives when they're challenged about all the stuff they've learned, tediously over the last 15 to 20 years, that we need not or must not give up the battle, but we must take the battle to those professors. We need to prepare our kids so that they, when they are challenged, they can dish it back out again, and they can challenge those who are around them. I think sometimes it's easy to just cocoon our kids, teach them all the good stuff and then to send them to a Christian university, maybe a Christian seminary, to just get them within the Christian ghetto and never let them leave it. But I don't think that this is the answer. I think the answer really is that we need to have witnesses in this world. We need to have witnesses in colleges and schools and universities And our kids, you know, for the time in their lives, they'll be there. That may be their role, just to be a witness for Jesus Christ in a very dark world out there. Our failure may be that we are not preparing them adequately, that they can stand the tide of darkness and the tide of dissipation that is going to try and attack them, confuse them, and challenge them. And because they are unprepared, very often they fall foul to all of this, and it might take them years to come back around again, to recognize that whatever they've been told at university are just empty, dark promises which do not carry any value and are just essentially a bunch of lies. So a great challenge ahead of us. Just to summarize, what can we do? We can set up our war rooms. We can analyze what is going wrong at universities. Why are kids falling away from their faith and from their loyalty to Christ? What is going on in their minds? We can make a point to really, you know, go in there and be with them, support them, and you know, accompany them if as far as possible. Maybe have events for, you know, within your church for all those kids who come back from universities, and just have like open forums where they can openly discuss all the struggles and the issues they have. Yeah. And then we can address all this stuff and try to, you know, direct them back on the straight and narrow path where they should be going. Okay, you're listening to BPN Radio. You can end the Christian War Room. You can go to our website, which is christianwarroom.com. The battle for our kids. We have got, this is going to be talk number 140, I think. I'm just looking at the list here. It's going to be talk number 140. We've got talk number 138 and 139, which talks about the battle for the kids. We looked at bad media and the whole issue of abortion and the disintegration of the modern family. And again, it's important. It's important that we give our kids the best chance and that we don't give up on them. It's important that we get the next generation going. This is probably the worst time in history, the time of greatest temptation, the time of greatest confusion, a time where people rise up in open rebellion against God. And then we have to fight all this stuff. We have to provide apologetics. We have to prepare the people around us, people in our churches, to deal with all the things which are thrown against them. So to get a bit more information, maybe to listen to the other talks as well, christianwarroom.com, all the audio files are on there. And you can sort of listen to this talk again, which should be 140, or to the other talks about the battle against, or the battle for our children. And there are a lot of other talks as well, a lot of ideas as well. So if you've got a youth group and you need to set something up, it might be ideal for you to just check it out and see whether some of the talks here will be a little bit of inspiration for you to try and get something going in your church, in your youth group. Let's pray. Lord, we pray for our children. We pray, Father, for our kids, that they will not fall away and that the world cannot take them away. We know, Lord, that, Lord, once they are in your hand, you will keep them, even though they may stray to the right or to the left. But, Lord, ultimately they will come back. We pray, Lord, that none of the sheep in your hand will be lost. We pray, Lord, that they will return, you know, faster, sooner rather than later, not to lose any precious time here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.